Good morning. Welcome to the Outdoor Show here on this Thursday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Producing the Outdoor Show this morning is Jace. Our sponsors today, Angler U, the CCA Star Tournament, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, the Belleville Meat Market, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, let's get to it. The weather. How about this change? Summer arrived. It's a lot cooler along the coast, though. You've got to admit, it's way better than the high ground. Looking at today's forecast for Galveston right now, it's 79 down on the island. 77, it feels like 79. And today we're looking at cloudy skies early, then partly cloudy this afternoon with a high of 83. South winds 15 to 25 miles per hour. Winds could occasionally gust up to 40 miles per hour today. Tonight looks like cloudy with a low of 77. South-southeast 10 to 20. And then for tomorrow, pretty much the same. A lot of clouds, high of 83, south winds 15 to 25 with higher wind gust. Looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions, and we have one tide today. We're sitting on a low right now. We have a high coming up at 8:45 a.m. It's a 1.7. Sunrise this morning, 6:27 a.m. Sunset, 8:04 p.m. Our moon phase. It's 96% coming off full moon. We're on the backside now, so here we go. And looking at current conditions around the complex, as far as water temps, they're all right at that 80-degree mark. Looks like offshore it's 78, south-southeast wind at 25 to 29 miles per hour. Barometric pressure is fairly low at 29.67. And Galveston Channel, it's 77 degrees there with 81-degree water, south wind at 11 to 22. Eagle Point, it's 81 degrees with 78-degree water. I actually call that 79. It's almost there. South wind 21 to 24. And Morgan's Point, 76 degrees with 79-degree water, south-southeast 9 to 14 miles per hour. So looks like another breezy day and warm, especially in the Houston area. Going to get in the 90s again, but cooler along the coast with these cooler water temperatures and a good gulf breeze, but makes it doable anyway. So, all right, well, let's get to our phone lines here. Let's run over to Sabine Lake and check in with Captain Bill Watkins this morning, see what he's up to. Good morning, Bill. How in the world are you?
I would say that it was breezy yesterday.
Wind burned and no hair left.
Oh, man, yeah. If I hadn't had a cap on, it would have pulled all the hair I had left out. That's just wow. So I've proven I could catch fish in terrible conditions yet again. It's been that way all this year. I mean, I have fished in some 35 and 40 mile an hour winds.
Yep.
So it's just terrible. But we caught them again.
Everybody's waiting on June.
Man, there was no boats out yesterday. Not one.
Well, I can imagine.
I had three boats the other day. It's amazing what's going on right now. I mean, you know, from a strong south wind to a southwest wind, and the day before that it was like a northwest at 20. I had nowhere to go except where I've been catching fish. I mean, it was a joke, but caught them every day.
Well,
so you have to be patient, and you have to, I mean, wind knots and flyaways. Good Lord.
Flyaways. What was that?
Yeah, flyaways.
Yeah, wrap around the tip awesome. And watch it land on the moon.
That's right. Yeah. Snapping it off. Pow!
Oh, man.
Oh, man, I just lost another jig, Bill. Yeah, I know. I heard the shot. God. Well, I've not been able to fish the ship channel at all.
Oh,
I had a couple of listeners drove up on the ramp yesterday at Deep Bayou,
mm-hmm.
and They got to talking to me and said, "We've been hearing you and Mickey talk about what's going on out there." I said, "Yeah, it's been something." Oh man. And that wind was whistling right there at the ramp too.
Right.
Sitting there playing fish. I couldn't make my hearing aids quit whistling.
Boy, I bet that is aggravating, wearing hearing aids and that wind blowing through your ears like that.
Now, what you do is you wear one of those buffs, a burka, I call it. It's
a burka.
that little headpiece that you put over your head, this little tube thing.
Stop and rob back mask.
Yeah, stop and rob mask.
Yeah.
But that thing absolutely will quiet those hearing aids down so you don't get the wind whistle in there. It's really nice. And I have to wear that to protect my face and ears anyway. You know, that's you get out in the sun that much, you're going to have issues later on.
Well, and the wind burns too. You know, you get wind burn real bad too.
Well, the wind burns too. That's for sure.
I'm sure everybody now that's fishing every day has got that raccoon look now. You know, when the sunglasses on, white around the eyes.
Yeah. That's exactly what I've got.
Stripes on the side of your head where your sideburns are, where your glasses fit.
Well, it's been really difficult. But you just got to play the wind.
Yeah.
You just have to use the, I call it, let the wind be your friend. It's never your friend, but I mean,
no, nah, ain't no wind my friend, buddy. I've heard that saying before. There ain't nothing friendly about too much wind.
No.
It just limits you. You can't do your thing and show off to your people and produce here and there and yonder. And, you know, you just knuckle down to one same old place every day. That's it's got to get old, man.
Well, I've actually had some options. There's several places holding fish down that Louisiana shoreline. And I wished I could fish the up above Deep Bayou.
Right.
That'd be exciting because I know there's some fish in there.
Sure.
What are those little birds that are, I don't even know what to call them. They're
mackerel
they're
birds.
Dark gray, no, they're dark gray little birds, and they look like a bat, kind of. And, but they got feathers. They're a pretty little dark gray seagull.
Yeah, those are, we call those mackerel birds.
Mackerel birds?
Yeah, they showed up over here, too, about 8 or 10 days ago.
That's crazy.
You can tell when summer hits. Yes. When they show up, man, next will be the frigate birds.
And, I love the frigate birds. Man, those are my favorite. I just like to watch them.
Yeah.
They steal from the other birds. And they're big enough to whoop their way around.
The seagulls, bud. I hate those seagulls. They're always harassing smaller birds, stealing food from them. That frigate bird moves in, he'll just eat the whole gull if he wanted to.
But that mackerel bird, they will put you on fish. I mean, they've done it many times in the past for me. And I got to watching some swirling around in a bayou the other day. It was a big bayou that I was fishing in, and those things, I was just going in. And they were swirling around in a straightaway.
Yeah.
And I eased up there and put the trolling motor over and put it on spot lock. And the tide was going in. And we threw out there and let the baits go to the bottom. We didn't see any activity on the top. Let that bait go down in 9 foot of water. And wham, boy, we caught some beautiful trout. I think we probably caught 20 right there. And maybe only a couple of three throwbacks.
You know, it's funny you mention that. That's a big mistake a lot of people make. They'll pull up on a school of diving gulls, and there's no surface activity other than the shrimp jumping. And they'll invariably work their lure way too fast. When you're not seeing any, you know, smacking or blowing up on the surface and everything, chances are those fish are schooling down deep. The shrimp that are coming to the top, there's no fish on them because they're harassing the shrimp on the bottom. A lot of times you just go to the bottom and you'll catch fish under them. But a lot of people think it's all surface activity because they're seeing the shrimp jump. But if you don't see trout swirling or smacking and blowing up, get that bait down.
Yep. And that's how it was. You had to let it go all the way down 9 feet to the bottom. And there was every once in a while you'd see a little bitty shrimp jump. I mean, eyeballs and whiskers.
Yeah.
And that's what they were eating, and that's what those little gray gulls was eating. I mean, everybody was getting a bunch of it. And no surface activity as far as feeding fish at all.
Right.
But, I think we had 18 trout and 4 nice flounder yesterday, and the day before that we had 20 trout and lots of good solid Texas keepers in that. And then today we noticed those little gulls, well, actually yesterday too, we found one flock. Those little gray gulls were out there on the waves. I mean, it was so rough. If you got very far on the bank, you couldn't do it. you stick your power pole down and the waves would come over the back of the boat. But they were eating those little bitty shrimp. And, man, there was fish out there. Goodness gracious. I mean, we caught, in one place yesterday, we caught 10 trout. You know, just put the stick down and whacked them. And the K Wiggler Balltail and White Bone Diamond has been the star for about 3 or 4 days now.
White Bone Diamond.
White Bone Diamond in that dark colored water. You can see down about 6 inches in some areas. And some it's about 8 inches. And it's starting to clear up and there's a little bit of salt and it's on like a chicken bone. No redfish really. But flounder are showing up now. And that's exciting.
Yeah, seeing sporadic catches all up and down the coast right now on flounder, and they're really nice ones this year. Good solid flounder.
Yeah, May is the month that they come back in. You know, that's Mother's
Day.
Just
like that brown shrimp. Brownies are showing up and a lot of stuff's coming in.
Yeah.
Tide runners.
That's probably what that was, little bitty brownies. But, I mean, I couldn't even see them good enough to tell what they were.
How about your fresh water issue over there? Are you getting any flow out of all these rains?
Oh, heck yeah. Oh, shoot.
That was a stupid question, wasn't it?
That was a stupid question.
Stupid is, stupid does.
Hey, man, yeah. It's running wide open.
Yeah.
I'm not even trying to fish on the north side of the lake right now. Not at all.
Right.
And I want to fish in that ship channel, but the tides have been rushing in so strong, I can't fish it. I would love to, because those tide runners are there.
Wind blowing right down the pipe, you know?
Yep. Can't do it. Can't get there from here.
Tide and wind.
Tide and wind. You got to play it the way it is.
Yeah.
And sometimes if it's rushing up the channel like that, blowing and going, it lifts that sediment up so high, but you get on up in the lake and the tide is up high, and that kind of brings fish up to the shoreline.
Right.
And puts them where you need them to be.
Yeah, where you can get out of that wind and fish them properly. Hang on, let me knock this break out, Bill. Be right back. Well, folks, Angler U, they're committed to steadily expanding their library of videos. They cover every topic under the sun when it comes to fishing. Check out their weekly fishing reports from up and down the coast by the best guides and tournament anglers, and they have decades of experience. They're steadily expanding their library of videos to cover all topics. They're archived so you can see patterns over time. Educational videos with instructional topics covering all aspects of saltwater fishing for speckled trout, redfish, flounder, tarpon. Whether you're boat fishing, wade fishing, or kayaking, go to anglerU.com. You can become a member today and you can receive great discounts from partner retailers like Fishing Tackle Unlimited, Anglers Anonymous, and Waterloo Rods. This will save you a ton of money. Go to anglerU.com. That's anglerU.com and improve your fishing skills. It's a game changer. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 419. All right, Bill, we're back.
All right, I'm here with you, buddy.
Well, what's on your agenda today?
Rest.
Rest? I don't blame you.
I got a doctor's appointment today. And then tomorrow, and then it'll be back on again Saturday, Sunday, and maybe Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I don't know.
That looks like this wind's going to be better to get used to it. It's going to be hanging on for another week or so.
I don't even care. That makes all the fishermen go away, so it's okay with me.
Well, that's a good thing about bad weather. You know, you don't get a lot of competition out there.
I've learned to deal with it, and it makes it a little easier. I'm catching some really nice trout, you know, some 16 to 18s, but I'm having to grind them out.
Yeah,
but you get in the right place where you get a little bit of a wind break, and in some places you can't get a wind break, but you're up close to the shoreline where you can cast with the wind, and then that makes it easier. You can make some good long casts, and if you find a place where the current is breaking around a corner or something, you know, where you have a little depth, maybe 3 or 4 feet. Mm-hmm. That'll kind of help, and those fish like to get in places like that. You don't see them. You don't see any surface activity at all. You'll catch one fish or two. You'll catch a flounder. You'll catch here's another nice trout. But it takes 10 to 15 minutes between fish. But if you sit there and wait them out.
Get them going.
You get a good box of fish. I mean,
yeah,
it works.
Well, just some days are like that. You got to stay with them, you know, to get your fish.
And but then the little gray birds kind of throw something extra into the mix there.
Yeah, them old macro
birds. Macro birds. I never knew what to call those things.
Yeah. Well, that may not even be the proper term for them, but that's what all the old timers and all of us have called them for years. And
yeah, they show up about this time of year.
Summertime, man.
Yeah, and then right behind them come the
old frigates.
They just kind of float up above it all and eyeball everything. They're really neat looking birds. But I'll be looking for my first one, and I'll probably see them down around the jetties or the channel somewhere. That's where they usually show up.
Yeah, they stay towards the coast. I've seen more, you know, like over in East Bay than I do in Trinity. But, you know, later in the year, the fishing gets really good in Trinity. Those frigates will show up that way, too.
Yes, they will. I've seen them up there.
They like areas, you know, like in East Bay, they like all those poles on those oyster reefs where they can sit on them, you know, the cane poles and PVC pipes and all that. And then when they get to Trinity, they like sitting on those wells out there.
Yep, they and sure
see
do.
See some activity, and they'll fly off and go get them a mullet or whatever they can scrounge up and then go sit down and color code the wells, poop on them, whitewashing the wells.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But that's the game right now. Another one of my guy friends, a couple of days ago, he found several flocks of those mackerel birds. Mm-hmm. And he said, I couldn't catch a Texas keeper out of him. I said, well, what in the world were you doing on the Louisiana side? You don't have a Louisiana license, so why were you over there? But he said, I couldn't catch a Texas keeper out of there. I said, well.
You know, that's so weird, you know, because if you're a guide, you have to have the license to cross the line, the imaginary line.
Yeah.
But if you're a regular recreational fisherman, you can cross that line.
That's true. It's reciprocal.
That just never has made sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense to me either. If I fish up the bayou in Louisiana, I understand having the license.
Sure, but because you're encroaching 2 points inland on that, you know, on that side. I can understand that, but just as far as any open bay water or shoreline water, it shouldn't be that way.
No, it shouldn't be. I think they're under a misinterpretation of the law, but hey, if they write you a ticket, you're going to have to go see the judge in their state, yeah. In their country.
Well, it is another country over there.
And it's a whole other country over there.
Whole new world over here, folks.
You sure better know what you're doing, because, I mean, you got a whole lots of things to juggle. And I saw that right up front, and I thought, do I really want to do this? And I bailed off into it and went at it.
Is there still minimum size length on flounder in Louisiana?
No minimum size.
So
10 a day.
That always amazed me to see them boxing 8 and 10 inch flounder. And just
I try to not do that. I try to not do that, but if they're around 12 inches or so, hey, they in the box. That's sportsman's paradise, right?
I guess so. It's a it's a catch and choose situation over there.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't change their flounder limit. They've done everything else, but
they changed their trout, changed their reds, and they're
now they're protecting those old big headed reds. You know, I don't get it, but it makes it easier on me not to have to fillet a 30-inch redfish. That's just right up my, that's my game, man. But a lot of my folks really did like to half shell those.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's amazing those redfish disappeared along that Louisiana side over there, because you know, this is the right weather for them when it's all rough and windy like this. They usually, man, they're roaming them banks over there, in and out of them.
Last year at this time, we could catch, they come out of the river and come all the way down to that south shoreline.
Right.
And man, boy, we had them going on. And this year, they're not there yet. I think once it settles down a little bit, they'll be there.
They'll be back.
But, I think maybe if I could fish the shoreline effectively,
right,
cast toward the shoreline or maybe tuck in and cast out, I might could catch a few reds. But I think right now they're still way back in the marsh.
Could be.
And I can't get to them in there because, I mean, right now you could take your boat and go in there and float those marsh ponds, and you could probably catch some redfish. I mean, I think that's where
probably
they
so.
Are. But who knows? You know, I think you
especially
can't
on them king
to
tides
them.
With all this wind, you know, when them tides blow up, get up in there.
You can't get fishing for 3 people back in there like that.
Yeah.
It's difficult. 2 and 3 people. It's that's a kind of a one-on-one game, you and the guide.
Yeah.
And we can probably get in there and do it, but I do know where they go in places like that. But the only place I've been able to catch a red is I've caught a few undersized and 1 18 and a quarter the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one on. We had one on on a point. It was pretty rough there, and guy threw out and stuck one that was a pretty good red. I don't know if it was oversized or what, because it pulled off. Who knows, man?
You never know.
But,
oh, well.
You know.
Hey. All right, man. Well, if somebody wants to come over and do a little wind fishing, how do they get a hold of you, Bill? You can...
409-673-9211 or fishsabinelake.com.
All right, brother. Well, Bill, have a good one. Rest up. Enjoy your doctor's appointment. I know you love going to the doctor. You know, everybody does.
Oh, so. Yeah. Skin doctor.
Yeah, so they can chew you out and all that. And...
They'll come in with a freeze can in their hand.
That's better than a scalpel.
Yeah, that is true.
Way better.
All right,
buddy. Well, Bill, you have a good day. I'll talk to you Saturday. Be safe out there, man.
All right, thank you, man.
Later.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, the 36th annual CCA Texas Star Tournament, folks, that's right around the corner. That'll kick off Memorial Day weekend. It'll run all summer long through Labor Day. And it's all brought to you by your Texas Ford dealers, Progressive Insurance, and Academy Sports and Outdoors. Sign up today and take advantage of over $2 million in prizes and scholarships. That's for inshore and offshore divisions. There'll be 120 tagged redfish released in inshore waters all up and down the coast. And you can fish for other species like gaff top, drum, and sheephead. Offshore fish for great prizes when you catch red snapper, ling, dolphin, and kingfish. Just go to startournament.org for rules, entry, and prize information. The Star Tournament's brought to you by great sponsors like Whataburger, Showwater Boats, Mustang Cat, Dargle Boats, Transport Boats, Haney Boats, Chris's Marine, and McLean Trailers. Go to startournament.org, call 713-626-4222. Get signed up today. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 4:33 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run up to Lake Conroe and check in with our good friend, the fish dude, old Richard Tosh. Hey, Richard, good morning. What's up, man? Hello, Richard. Looks like we have no Richard. He says he's there. Well,
I'm here. I'm here. Yeah, I wasn't expecting you to get through so early. What's going on, Mickey? How you doing this morning?
Oh, man, nothing, brother, nothing.
I hear you. Man, I tell you what, I finally got them fish to stay hooked up on Tuesday.
I saw that, man. You had a pile of hybrids.
Well, that, I'm talking about them largemouth on Tuesday night.
Oh, okay, all right.
Man, that worked out pretty good. 3 for 20, almost 23 pounds.
So ooh.
I'm telling you, had some chunks in there, I guarantee you. So,
yeah, you did. I hope you won with that.
Oh, yeah, beat everybody by 10 pounds. That's even better.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that's,
well, Blind Hog finds an acorn every now and then, doesn't he?
every now and then, I promise you, I guarantee you. I tell you what, it was one of them things where like I say, I've been having those big rascals jumping off on me every week, and I finally got them to stay hooked up, so... That's the best part right there, when you finally get it to happen like it's supposed to. But, man, them hybrids, they were doing good the other morning, too. So
I saw that. Them man, you nuked them.
And we're going to try it again this morning, see if them knuckleheads want to play again this morning. Because that's, everything's setting up right. They're just, you know, that water's finally settling down after last week where it came up and then it dropped, mm-hmm. You know, because it came up about a foot and a half, and then it dropped out and stayed muddy, and now it's finally starting to try to clear up and all that good stuff, because man, that mud was thick up here on the north end, and then finally everything on, you know, just kind of settling out. So hopefully those fish get kind of back in a rhythm, you know, and that's what I'm looking forward to anyway, getting them back to where they're consistently doing what they're supposed to do, and hopefully all the rain's over with anyway for a little bit.
It looks so, like it looks like, yep, it can dry out and kind of get back to normal a little bit on water levels and all that.
That's the main thing, because I mean, I'll tell you what, that it's you know, with the way the lake was last week, it was ridiculous how much it was. Then, you know, went crappie fishing a couple of days too, and that was horrible. I mean, good night, you had high muddy water and a cold front on top of it, and them sungas just did not want to bite. I mean, that was the craziest stuff. You know, because I got out there one day, we only caught one. I think that was on Sunday. We only caught one, and then Monday, I think we only caught two. It's like, goodness. You know, you work your tail off trying to get them to bite, and you hit everything under the sun, and they just won't act right. And that was, you know, because we had that front come in. Oh, we had like 3 days of north wind, and then finally it settled down. And, you know, it's cold every morning, and then finally it starts warming up, and then it wants to get super hot, you know, almost in, you know, getting close to touching that 100 mark here before long. So it's like you can't win for losing, but that's all right. As long as the temperature gets consistent and all that, it's good as it can get. You know, you can't beat that. And, you know, like I say, then them goofy old catfish, I mean, good night. Them things, we've been getting out there, and one day you catch a whole bunch of big ones, and the next day you catch a whole bunch of little ones, and the big ones are mixed in. So, like, we had one the other day, we had 76 catfish. I think that was Tuesday morning. Had 76 catfish, and then, we probably threw back at least 100 little ones. I mean, it's just crazy. And then just a few days before that, I mean, I catch 100, like Saturday, I think it was, end up catching 100 keepers, and then very few small ones. And it's just, they're just kind of rotating in and out right now. And I know that the catfish are trying to get ready to start spawning. They, you know, they typically spawn like in June and July. So a lot of them that are full of eggs right now, and some of them that are just developing. So, you know, as I'm cleaning them, I start noticing that, how a lot of them are full as they can be. So once they start doing that, they'll start moving up on those shallow flat areas and stuff like that. And that's where I'll start fishing these little drains and stuff that come off of those flats for them. And they'll be stacked up in there. But when they do that, you know, during that period, and whenever the shad spawn's going on the bulkheads, I get a bunch of little ones in there on my deeper holes and stuff like that. So it's just finding that happy medium and finding the day where they're going to be where they're supposed to be, or the bigger ones are anyway, you know, because they're always transitioning. That's the biggest thing, is they'll move from shallow to deep, and then back to shallow, and then with that water coming up, they go shallow. With it going down, they go deep. And it's a never-ending battle, but that's all right. As long as you learn to read the water pretty good, you're all right. It's no big deal. It's just kind of fighting it till you figure it out. And every day is the same. You know, you get out there and you pull up on one spot. Okay, there's a bunch of little ones here. Let's go to this other spot that may be a little shallower or a little deeper. And then once you get out on it, well, boom, there the bigger ones are. So you sit there and wear them out. And then, you know, like every once in a while, it's like three little ones for one big one. Then other days, it's three big ones for one little one. So it's like I say, just never ending battle. When you get to the spot where it's three big ones for one little one, you hang in there a little while.
That's what I like. I prefer that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's you and me both, I guarantee you, because them little knuckleheads, I guarantee you, them things, they, especially when it comes to them goofy little catfish, them things will stab you to death, I promise you. They got them little needles on their
little
side.
Little needles, they're nasty, man.
They hurt, I guarantee you. You know, everybody always asks me, do you ever get stuck? Every day. You know, I mean, if you're handling catfish, you're going to get stuck by them. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, look at my hands. They look like a pin cushion.
I guarantee you. And then that's like them hybrids. You know, years ago I figured out, don't grab them hybrids. I get my Boga grips out, and I grab them suckers with them Boga grips.
Yeah.
You know, and I get people all the time want to reach down there and grab them. I tell them, just leave them alone. Those things have razor blades on the side of their heads. They got two rows of razor blades on the side of their
gill raker plates. Things, man, like a snook does and other fish.
Yes.
Boy, they'll put the hurt on you. Redfish too, same way.
Oh, my gosh. Them things are like, I mean, they will cut you wide open. I mean, it's the dangest thing I ever seen. And they know how to use them, I promise you. When they go to thrashing that head.
Well, they'll turn that head, and I always get you on the thumb.
Always. No matter what. It's going to happen. I mean, it's just crazy how they'll do that. And so, and then, you know, like when they're in the water, that's how they kind of kill bait, too. They'll thrash through those
slash through it, yeah.
Yeah, and then turn around and eat them. So, You know, that's the thing about it. You know, them rascals, they people don't understand what all the defensive mechanisms are and offensive mechanisms are on these fish. Like those catfish, you know, they got those fins on the side and then that fin up top, that dorsal fin. I guarantee you, there ain't another fish wants to eat him, but they'll try. And they'll pop them fins out, and then this game over with. That other fish is going to die.
So to death.
It's, you know, and then it would, like with the hybrids, I mean, the way they just cut through that bait and start slashing and stuff. And then, you know, people, if you start kind of thinking about it, as those hybrids move through, they'll cut those shad up like that, and you'll have some that'll fall to the bottom. So you'll have other fish like largemouth will get underneath those hybrids and catch those shad that are falling. You'll have, catfish that'll get down there underneath them also. You know, different types of fish will do that. Because like years ago, when fishing the Trinity River, when I'd catfish the Trinity River a lot of times, I would specifically look for gar on the surface. And you look for those gar on the surface snapping on those shad because they'll cut them in half and the rest of them will fall to the bottom. And you kind of get downstream of those gar a little bit because you've got
current
in the river.
Towards, yeah.
Yep. So you get down there in a bend that's just south of them and you catfish right there and you'll catch some really good catfish. You know, that's a real good trick for a lot of people river fishing is, you know, just find those gar chomping on the surface a little bit. And then just get downstream of them just a little ways, especially if it's close to a bend in the channel or something like that, and chunk some cut shad out there. And I guarantee you, that's where your bigger fish are going to be hanging out, and a lot of them, because like I say, those gar up there just chomping them baits in half for the most part, and it's falling down there. And you know, this just kind of thinking about that stuff like that gets you. Get you to where you catch more fish. A lot of people just don't think about it that way. You know, they think, okay, it's water. I can just throw a bait out there and I'm going to catch them. No, it's a little bit more in depth than that. You know, and then over at the river, we used to ledge fish a lot because there's like three or four different ledges out there in the Trinity River. You got a shallow ledge that may be, say, 10 foot and it drops off 3 or 4 feet. And then you go out another 10 or 20 feet and then you get another ledge. It may drop off 4 or 5 feet, and you got another ledge. You throw out. I always had at least 4 rods. I'd throw out. I'd throw one on the deep ledge, one on the one up from it, and one on the middle ledge, and then one up on the shallow ledge. And then once you start getting bites, you figure out which one they're on, and you just put everything on that ledge and catch them.
Stair step.
I mean, that's it. That's what it is. It's just, I mean, it's funny whenever you figure it out, you know. And then, like with the river, it's always good when there's current in there. No matter what, it's always good. And then if it's rising, they're shallow. If it's falling, they're deep. That's the other thing you got to pay attention to. Because them rascals, like I say, if it's falling, you want to fish deeper because nothing wants to get trapped in that shallow water. I mean, it happens in the tidal waters too. You know, when the tide's coming in, they move shallow. When it's going out, they move out there deeper because they're smarter than what you think. They don't want to get caught in that stuff, that's for sure. So that's pretty much the gist of river fishing anyway. But it's I want to see some of these fish schooling on the surface. I mean, that's them dang things. You know, a couple of weeks ago on a Tuesday nighter with them largemouth schooling on top, that spoiled me. I want to see it again. But I want to see some of them big rascals doing it. I mean, I love schooling fish. There ain't no doubt about it. And them hybrids ought to get started
doesn't?
Here for long.
I mean, that's the way
know,
it is here,
I
too.
Know.
Hey, we fish for schools, not stragglers.
That's right, man. I'll tell you what. When you get those suckers schooling on top, though, especially like with the hybrids, I mean, every time I get so dang excited. If I'm chunking a bait caster, odds are my first cast I'm going to backlash because it's, you get so dang wound up, you want to chunk it as hard as you can out there in them, and you wind up with a big old backlash. So that's why I always rather have a spinning rod in my hand when I see them schooling. That way I know I'm not gonna get me one of them professional overthrows. So it's because you can chunk that spinning rod out there and get them, but, and not have to worry about all that. And I mean, it's just a blast. Anytime
I'm
you
like
catch those fish
out of
the
water
surface.
With a spinner in my hand, man. I just.
I hear you. You know, that's the thing. When I was growing up, that's all I ever used. It was a spinning reel. I mean, be perfectly honest, I never fished with a bait cast reel until 1986. And
good
it was,
Lord.
It was because, I mean, it was because I grew up
with a
spinning reel in my hand. Yep, Mitchell 300.
Mitchell 300. All right, I got a 300 out of here, man. If somebody wants to call you, Richard, book up with you. Hey, and congratulations on popping that Tuesday night. Give them some info.
I appreciate it. All right, Mickey, anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
Three fish, 23 pounds. That's strong, dog. That's strong.
That's pretty stout, I guarantee
you.
There ain't no doubt.
All right, brother. Hey, Richard, you take care, my friend. See you, man.
Yes, sir.
Later.
Y'all have fun.
All right. All right, let's hop down to Matagorda now. Let's check in with our good friend, Captain Charlie Paradosky. Charlie P., what's up?
Hey, good morning.
What's going
Not
on,
much.
Man?
Not much. Lots of wind.
Yeah.
Southwest, mostly.
You know what you've been pulling? I've been getting more of a due south, maybe a little wag as a west in it, but.
Yeah. No, it's tough over here right now. You know, we had all that north wind all weekend, and we caught fish. You know, Saturday got a little tough with all the boats.
Right.
Everybody was in the same area, but then here comes Sunday, and hell, I was the only boat out there, and they ate everywhere I went. So,
eating the prop off the boat, as James says.
Yeah, but since then it's been, you know, these strong southerly winds, and if you don't have white fish, I mean, it's tough. Though there's a few of the boys that are on the redfish, but there ain't nothing easy about it. I can tell you that. Nothing.
Well, it's this forecast looks like about 10 days of what we're looking at right now, the way I see it.
You know, if we go more south,
yeah, more rain for a while.
If we go more southeast, that would be a lot better. But
due east, southeast, anything with some east in it, you got it.
Yeah. So we're in the doldrums right now.
Man, did you ever hear anything out of the surf when it laid down and got all pretty and everything for a couple of days? I never heard anything.
No, I didn't. I know they just a couple boats went to the jetties there Monday and caught them real good. And, and you know, all the trout they caught were over 20 inches, too,
right,
which is good. Turned the ball loose.
Wouldn't hear them complaining out of that.
No, but then it turned around and started humping and blew that off. So
little couple of little teaser days there.
You know, somebody might have gotten, you know, in the surf, but I didn't hear anything.
No,
it was somebody driving down the beach.
About it.
Yeah.
Can't blame them.
Sunday, I mean, there just was nobody fishing Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, we had those hard north winds and Saturday. And like I said, there were boats everywhere and a lot of them didn't catch them, and they went home. So, I don't know. It's typical.
Usually what you see.
We go through this every year at this time, so whatever.
They're coming out of woodwork. It's fishing season, baby.
I see better reports coming from Galveston than I do over here right now.
Yeah.
But I think there's more people fishing over there, too.
Oh, there he is. They're out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
They're milling. Yeah. A lot of lurking and milling going on, baby.
Yep. And every Saturday is tournament, so we got a big one here this Saturday.
I know.
So there's going to be a lot of disappointed people with all this wind we're having. I can tell you that.
Trout or redfish tournament?
Both.
Or both, yeah.
Yeah.
Multi-species tournaments.
Yep.
I like fish one-fish tournaments. Either fish for trout or redfish. Even a right. drum tournament.
A drum tournament, yeah.
Let's have some drum tournaments. Gaff top, too. Yep. Might as well go all the way.
Yep.
The Slimer Classic.
What did our Astros do last night?
They come back and won it again, baby. I stayed with them all the way to the end. Boy, Pena's on fire right now.
Who is?
Pena.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and moving him to leadoff, that kind of helped things, didn't it?
That changed him going. That boy's whole attitude. And, man, his swing's just in sync right now. You can just tell it's not even the same swing it was a month ago. He's been working on it, doing a good job. Boy, looks good, man.
Can you imagine where we'd be if we'd have kept Tucker and Bregman? We'd be right on top.
I'm kind of becoming a really good fan of his on third base. That guy's Mr. Automatic over there. He's a vacuum cleaner with a gun. Bregman don't have an arm like that guy's got.
Yeah.
You know, ever since he hurt his shoulder that time, he never did have that arm anymore. But, hey, Brady's hit another homer last night. He did the walk-off night before and then had one last night. So
we have a problem at first base. These guys that we use at first
what
base
is up
just
with
don't
that?
Come through.
Hey, how bad do you miss Yuli Gurriel now? I mean, even him being old like he is, he'd still have a better batting average than Walker's got. Plus, he's a gold glover, too. He was a vacuum cleaner over there on first base.
Right, right.
You just never know. It's
you can't have it all.
But Walker,
every
I mean,
now and then you get
got,
it.
But he's got all the tools. He just needs to get back on track. He was starting to really come around at home, and then he's having a bad series against the Royals. But
yeah,
we beat another good team 2 out of 3, buddy. That's
yeah. Well, hopefully they'll get it going. But
we're a lot better off this year than we were this time last year.
Well, we got better pitching.
Yeah, and we're missing, three of our good starters. Man, poor Aaron Geddy, what a bad luck deal that was, breaking that thumb.
Yeah.
His throwing hand, and, boy, it'd be nice to get him back.
Was he out for the year? Is he going to come back?
No, he's rehabbing. It's just taking a while. Too bad it wasn't on his left hand. He'd be pitching still. Put a soft cast on, throw that glove on, and get out there and go to work.
That's right.
Oh, well. All right, Charlie. Well, hey, somebody wants to come over and hang out with you and go through the motions and all this wind, how they get a hold of you.
Call me on my cell phone, 713-725-2401.
All right, buddy. Well, hang in there. We fight it every year, same old stuff.
Take care, Mickey.
All right, Charlie, see you, man. All right. All right, it's time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.